Today's words of wisdom come from Deuteronomy. Rejoice during your festival, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, as well as the Levites, the strangers, the orphans, and the widows resident in your towns. 7 days you shall keep the festival to the Lord your God at the place that the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all your undertakings, and you shall surely celebrate. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. That is the perfect scripture for us to welcome our friends from Beth Hoggy Vote. Jenny and Fred are going to come and share with us a little bit more about the celebration of Sukkot.
You shall dwell in booths 7 days, that your generations may know that I made the Israelites dwell in booths, and I brought them out of the land of Egypt. This quote from Leviticus 23:42-43 is the background for the holiday of Sukkot. Sukkot is a holiday of great joy and celebration. In ancient days, Israelites would make a pilgrimage to the temple, a portion of the fruits of the year, as a symbol of special thanks for a bountiful full harvest. Sukkot begins 5 days after Yom Kippur, commemorating the 40 years of Jewish wandering in the desert after the giving of the Torah on top of Mount Sinai. Like many societies, the ancient Hebrews had a variety of agricultural festivals. Sukkot likely has its roots in one of these ceremonial expressions of thanks to God for a good crop. Initially, the holiday that became Sukkot had no fixed date and was observed whenever the harvest had been completed. By Torah times, the date was standardized to the 15th day of the seventh month as the beginning of a seven-day holiday. Sukkot later became one of the three pilgrimage festivals where the people would bring a portion of their harvest, first fruits, to the temple in Jerusalem, where these fruits would be offered as a sacrifice to God by the holy priest. After the destruction of the temple, Sukkot became a synagogue and home celebration, marked by unique rituals and symbols, which will be discussed later and we will participate in after the service. Interestingly, as with other agricultural celebrations, the holiday of Sukkot also has strong historical significance. Passover is tied to the Exodus from Egypt, and Shavuot is associated with the giving of the Torah. Sukkot has come to reflect the experiences of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. The sukkah itself symbolizes the frail huts in which Israelites lived during the 40 years of wandering in the desert after the Exodus from Egypt. It also serves to remind Jews of the biblical account of how God provided for the needs in the wilderness and by implications still watches over us today. There are guidelines for building a sukkah. It must have at least 3 walls. Only one can be an existing wall like the side of a house. The walls can be of any material such as canvas, wood, or metal. The roof is to be temporary, covered with loose branches or anything that grows out of and has been cut from the ground. The covering should give shade while allowing those in the sukkah to see the stars through the roof at night. During Sukkot, we bless the lulav and the etrog, symbols of the harvest. The etrog, or citron, is a lemon-like fruit with a wonderful citrus smell. The lulav is a combination of date palm, willow, and myrtle branches held together by a woven palm branch.
With this background, let us try to put Sukkot in context. And this isn't all my wisdom. Most of these thoughts are from Rabbi Mindy Avra Portnoy. Rabbi Portnoy points out that our favorite Jewish holidays are usually ones that fit nicely with our current thinking and behavior patterns and with clear messages attached. Yom Kippur, introspection and soul searching. Hanukkah, religious freedom, minority rights, multiculturalism. Passover, rejoicing in redemption from tyranny and slavery. Purim, a joyous release of inhibitions and energies and a serious message about anti-Semitism. We can explain these concepts easily to others and our children, and these messages make sense on the surface. But as Rabbi Portnoy puts it, Sukkot presents a real challenge. First of all, it's too close to the high holidays and the World Series, the beginning of the football season, and a lot of other events. According to Rabbi Portnoy, harvests don't wait. And since many of us are out of breath, we celebrate it perfunctorily, not really thinking about its meaning. I mean, it starts 5 days after Yom Kippur, which is the most solemn day of the year, and then all of a sudden you've got to get ready for another holiday. Sukkot is a challenge in many ways. It has the potential to confront us with demands even more difficult than fasting on Yom Kippur, asking forgiveness, eating matzah for 7 days, or being Jewish in December. I think that's because their hard demands are harder to put into action. Two of the central messages of Sukkot apply to people of all faiths. First, nature and the outside world are as central to Judaism as what goes on in our heads. Though a lot of people think of it as a cerebral religion with a lot of thinking, discussing, asking questions. Many of us are not outside people. We thrive inside. We avoid tents, insects, and bad weather. This holiday asks us to eat outside, hammer nails, harvest bamboo and palm, and praise God for agricultural bounties, which we personally don't harvest much ourselves. Sukkot brings us back to earth from Yom Kippur and its reflectiveness, reminding us of nature and God's creation of the physical world and the need to bless and take care of it. Maybe let's think of it as an environmentalist holiday. Let's protect the world. We've got nature, as well as we spend all the high holidays sitting here praying, reflecting, inside and inside our heads, and now we're going to go outside and deal with the world. The second message, one which Rabbi Portnoy claims is even harder, is that possessions mean nothing, real estate is a sham, and the only reliable dwelling place is a rickety hut in one's backyard. She cites a story from a children's book where a poor family could never invite its relatives for a holiday meal because they did not have enough room in their home. One Sukkot, the father realized that their backyard was bigger than their home and bigger than anybody else's, and so their sukkah, built from borrowed materials, was the largest one in the family. Every year from then on, the family hosted all their relatives in the big sukkah. What is the symbolism? Absolute equality of rich and poor, where everybody's soup gets rained on, everyone's willow dies towards the end of the holiday, and this one's sort of dying because it was living in the Arizona heat. And everyone's sukkah is a fragile, temporary, and open to the winds and storms structure. We would rather not hear this message as we live in what protected, well-sheltered edifices. Let us reflect on these messages as we decorate the sukkah and celebrate the traditions of this holiday together.